720 WGN, Daniel in for Pete until 11 o'clock, and we've got to get some headphones for Mike there. And also, too, as I wanted to mention, when it comes to beer, and beer, there is nothing hotter than the whole craft brew situation that's going on. It is a luxury. It is an awesome occurrence for those people that love flavor, that love taste, that love beer. And a person that is bringing the great stories of beer to the people who love them is on the line with us now. She's also helping to instruct that next generation of home brewers as the craft brew program director for the American Home Brewers Association. It's great to have her on again. Julia Hirst, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good to hear your voice again.
Hey, it's good to hear you. Now, now you're in Colorado. And is that, you know, I know it, you think of it. Well, we think of the Midwest now as, I don't know if you've known this or if you've gotten the memo, but since the last time you were here, we think of the Midwest as kind of the epicenter of the craft beer culture. And although Denver has so much of it, but have you seen that? Have you been made aware of the fact that there's, you know, a lot of great beers happening right here in this town?
I've been very much made aware. My travels tend to get me to your area often, and you guys are a beer mecca. I wouldn't call you or Denver or San Diego or any one particular place the main place, because it's just going on all throughout the country.
Well, I got a chance to see the Great American Brew Fest or Beer Festival, and I was astounded. Go to a lot of events, go to a lot of food events, and to see not only just the size and scope of the event, but the breadth of the different breweries, whether they were household names or whether they were breweries that that you knew they were just starting up but making some great stuff. I mean, it was truly, truly impressive.
Yeah, and the Great American Beer Festival is 33 years strong. The Brewers Association, who I'm with, puts it on, and it's the preeminent competition, and it's got a lot of it's a destination festival. I mean, if you've never been, consider it, and it's 49,000 friends and fun for 3 days straight.
Yeah, I mean, and how has the event, I don't want to say how it's changed because we know that it's gotten bigger and bigger, but how can it change and become more things to more people? Or are you just going to cap it? I talked with Brett Joyce from Rogue, and he had mentioned it was 20 some odd years that they had been involved with it or since early on. And I said, well, was it in the lobby of a Howard Johnson's at the time? I know the event has changed quite a bit, but how do you get bigger from where it is today?
Well, there's bigger and there's better, and I think we tend to do both every year. We continue to grow, and what we've also got evolving is a foodie scene and an educational seminar scene that's bar none, and every year you've got new content, new topics, new chefs pairing with brewers in the farm-to-table area, and you've really just got this evolution of change, and frankly, in 2015, we're going to be adding basically 90,000 square foot of convention center space, and that's incredible, and we'll fill it. It's going to be great.
Wow. So you've got the extra space for the people out at that event, but you guys host beer events all around the country. I know you've had some that have been here in the Midwest as well. And, you know, I want to ask you, I know that you're not necessarily shocked because this is what you do, and you're excited that everybody else is excited about it. But how much bigger can craft brewing get? Or is it always going to be, you know, one of those maybe 20% of the market, or can it become mainstream completely?
Well, we'd love to see it be 20%. Right now, it's about 8% by volume of all beer sold in the United States. We have an interest to see it get to about 20% market share by 2020 of small and independent craft brewers in the U.S. containing that share. And that's a good balance, you know. I mean, that's not too much to ask to have the small brewery businesses have a bigger piece of the pie. The pie is pretty big. Beer outsells wine and spirits. Basically, you have to combine those two to get to beer sales in the U.S. So we'd love to see it continue to grow. And the last 10 years, the entire segment of craft brewers has grown 10.9% on average each year, growing off a larger and larger base. So it's got a nice, healthy clip of double-digit growth every year for the last 10.
When you look at some of the beers that people are doing on the homebrew side, and I always say it, maybe 20 years ago, we had friends or family that were homebrewing, but it just wasn't any good. You know, it wasn't good. Where now you've got people that are doing it at a high level, and you working on the education side, is it? But then again, a lot of the stuff that the American craft brewers, and especially the homebrewers, are doing is kind of outside the box. You know, there aren't any real rules. You can do some really creative things on the education side. How do you keep up with it? How do you stay in front of it as far as giving people tools to be the best brewers at the home side?
It's a great question, and one of the groups and types of people at the forefront of this whole beer movement in the U.S. to put the U.S. on the map as now one of the greatest destination for beer, frankly, with the number of brands and diversity, are homebrewers, and I'm one of them. You go to our website, homebrewersassociation.org, and there is a plethora and a community that is so active and so engaged. And, you know, you can keep it simple. You can homebrew on the extract level, get that it down at your local shop or order those ingredients online, or you can brew like the pros. But there's 1.2 million homebrewers in the U.S. today, very active part of this craft beer revolution.
We've got a few homebrewers in the studio with us. Guys, do you have any questions for Julia? No? Yes? No? You guys know it all?
Well, I'm certainly not willing to go that far, but I do have one question.
Okay. I'm trying to get the mics.
I could scream.
No, that's not good enough. All right. We're going to try to figure out exactly which mic that they're on. But as far as the resources, and I know that there's been some technological advancements for home brewers. Al, if you can make sure just to find out which mic they're on so that we know. I know there's, disks that you can get, and there's computer programs that you can get to do it. I mean, are those some of the things that you guys are sharing, or is it kind of just old school? And is that the best way to do it? Just sticking to traditions?
You know, you could take a look at the cross-section of the types of homebrewers, and some get pretty geeky, but some are doing 1-gallon batches on their stovetop, every couple weeks, not making it computerized software crunching in their recipe and the like. So it's to each his or her own on how you homebrew, but there literally is homebrewer beginners and homebrew geeks in every nook and cranny of homebrew clubs everywhere. So it's just how you want to do it.
Well, whether it's Jim Cook from Sam Adams and, any of the people that you interview that have achieved really great heights or Steve Hindy, they all started someplace and they all started as homebrewers. Do you have, since you've been with it and doing it for so many years, and you can kind of ramp up from a home brewer to a successful retail brewer in a relatively short period of time. Do you have any like kind of star students that maybe you helped out in the beginning and now, boom, they're on shelves all over the country?
I love it because I've been asked to homebrew for a couple of people. A great story is I was in a crazy flood. The Front Range of Colorado had a very impactful flood in 2011, a little over a year ago. Sorry, not 2011, on September 11th, a little over a year ago. And the deal was that my neighbors were displaced for over 6 months, including me, was 2 months out of our home. And one of the ways I brought one of the people back a little, a little spirit, was they were homebrewers and they lost all their equipment in the flood. So while they were at their temporary home, we came and helped them homebrew. And it was like, really just lifted them up and kind of brought them back to what makes you feel good when you're baking in your kitchen or the like. So yeah, I've encountered many people where I've used homebrewing as a avenue to help people feel good again, because it's such a rewarding hobby.
So you're thinking, and this would be like your suggestion would be to create homebrew kits as any kind of emergency response system.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
All right. Well, Julia, do you have like a website? I know you've got multiple ones that you're doing as far as the Homebrewers Association. What is that website?
Homebrewersassociation.org is by the American Homebrewers Association, and that's who I'm part of. This is a membership organization that really has been the cause and been there since day one, 1978. It wasn't legal to homebrew, and then things changed, and by 1979, Jimmy Carter signed into law that you can brew up to 200 U.S. gallons per family household. And since day one, the AHA, or the Homebrewers Association, has been around, and our website, homebrewersassociation.org, is the place to go on how to brew as a beginner or a geek, how to geek out with the community that's hanging out on our forum, how to get the cutting-edge recipes that you maybe haven't even seen yet for brewing ideas, and what's going on in activism side for homebrewing rights as well.
A long time ago, I think geeking was not necessarily like a positive or, a term that you would want to embrace. But now to be a geek is really a great thing. And for brewing geeks that want to learn everything that's going on in the beer scene, you are the editor of craftbeer.com as well. So when people go to that website, what kind of thing are they going to see there?
Well, I love that segue, and there's a difference between being a geek and a snob, and I think beer, has to pay attention to that. Wine kind of lost its way a little bit, and with craftbeer.com, we really put the website in front of craft beer lovers and always take into account the beer beginner. So all the content on craftbeer.com with the most robust recipe database for cooking with craft beer on the internet, the most extensive brewery database that you can, if you want to find breweries on the internet, and being the voice of craft brewers on craftbeer.com with beer and food information out the wazoo, you've really got a robust website that keeps it real and keeps it accessible for all levels of beer lovers.
Well, we love what you do, and as we let you go, are there any events that are going on that people should put on their calendar coming up early 2015?
Well, I definitely say, you know, Christmas is all on our minds right now in the holiday season and New Year's. In the beer world, you've got so many, and craftbeer.com's calendar is going to list them for you. You've got beer weeks going on across the U.S., more than 75 throughout the year, and many of them occurring in the first quarter. So that's one thing to pay attention to. The Brewers Association will be hosting Savor, an American craft beer and food experience. That's the preeminent beer and food event in the U.S., and that will be in the spring in Washington, D.C. So all sorts of great stuff, and there's always a beer event down the street if you want to go to one. It's amazing.
So much great information, always sharing that, and, of course, leading the way on the education side for the American Home Brewers Association and for craftbeer.com. Julia Hurst, thanks so much for being on WGN.
Yes, great to hear your voice again, as I said, and happy holidays to you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, in studio we have Mike Roger, we've got Ben and Zach from Ben Johnson, Zach Waters, right, from Michael Best. They are homebrewers, and we've heard a little bit about that, but also they've got some expertise on, you know, how to do it the right way as far as your company. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk with them. This is Daniel in for Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.